As you've heard, state and territory health ministers will meet their federal counterpart, Mark Butler, today, seeking to end what's becoming a bit of a public war over hospital funding and strike a long-term deal. New South Wales Health Minister Ryan Park told Radio National Breakfast this week that without a deal, the quality of public health care will decline.
We're still at the table, but we haven't seen anything. And the problem for me and the problem for New South Wales patients is it's only getting worse year on year here, and I can't afford just to sit by and watch this happen. It's not fair on New South Wales patients, and it's not fair on New South Wales health staff. We need a fair deal. We need it appropriately funded. It's a joint funded system. Both parts of that system have to do their thing.
That's the New South Wales Health Minister, Ryan Park, speaking to the program this week. Rachel Stephen-Smith is the ACT Health Minister, and she joins us on the program now. Rachel, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Melissa.
We've heard from the Federal Health Minister, Mark Butler, on the program just a short time ago, saying that there's a new deal on the table that the Prime Minister has written to you and the other state and territory health ministers, promising an extra $1 billion over 5 years on top of the $20 billion that's already been added as part of the negotiations, and to increase the growth cap to 8.5% in the long term. Is that enough to get your support?
Look, I don't think it's quite enough. I think we all appreciate that there is now some movement and a willingness to really take our concerns seriously. And as Mark indicated in your interview, we had some productive discussions at dinner last night. There are some issues that we can resolve, but the big picture issues are ones for our first ministers. But just to put in context that extra $1 billion for your listeners, the ACT is a very small jurisdiction. We only have a population of less than 500,000, and we put in an additional almost $1 billion into our health system over 4 years in our recent budget because of the significant cost and demand increases that we have been seeing. So I understand Mark's point about an 8% indexation being generous, but the problem is our starting point has deteriorated significantly, and we've been going backwards in terms of the proportion of Commonwealth funding between December 2023, when everybody agreed to a trajectory to 42.5% and 45%. We've all been going backwards since that time. So the starting point has changed, and that's what we need to rectify.
The Federal Health Minister seems to think that there is a lot of room for improvement that states and territories can make when it comes to efficient pricing of procedures. Can you give me a sense in the ACT of how much of the growth in costs is just due to inflation of, you know, wages and hospital items and health care bills? How much is increased demand for services and where that balance lies?
Look, it's really both. Obviously, we've seen some level of wage increase, but I would say in the ACT, our wage increase certainly hasn't kept up with CPI. It also probably hasn't kept up with the broader wage price index, because we've previously provided sort of relatively generous public service wage increases. But all of your listeners would be aware, we've been in a very high inflation environment. Every state and territory pretty much has seen some level of industrial action from their health workforce as they've tried to negotiate enterprise agreements. We haven't been sort of falling over ourselves to give our healthcare workers extra generous pay offers. Our healthcare workers are trying to keep up with the cost of living that every other Australian is experiencing, and we are trying to ensure that they are paid fairly. The consequence if we don't do that we've all seen, is that we end up paying even more for agency and locum staff because we can't attract sufficient health workforce to be permanent workers to support our health system.
The government might point to the federal government might point to the one-off increase they gave of a 13%, I think it was, growth cap, and then what they're offering, which is an ongoing 8.5%. That's still more than double the current CPI rate. Surely there's room within a federal health budget, even accounting for extra costs that often come with the healthcare sector, that a growth cap of more than double current CPI is something that could be achievable.
Oh, look, I think that's a reasonable point for the Commonwealth to make. The point we're making is our starting point has deteriorated significantly, and it would be really helpful if the Commonwealth would acknowledge and understand that. We got a paper for the Health Minister's meeting today that explains the position they've taken that, oh, we could get back to that trajectory to 42.5% by 2030. And the assumptions that that's based on are completely unrealistic. They're talking about cost growth of just over 3% and demand growth of just over 2%. We know, and I mean, Mark Butler said, the baby boomers are turning 80. That's having a pressure on the aged care system, but it's also creating significant pressure on the health system. It's not something that we can control.
The ACT's health spending is different to most other jurisdictions. The federal government funding makes up a smaller portion of hospital funding than in other states. I know you've talked about that a bit, but can you just explain the difference of that disparity when it comes to other jurisdictions?
Well, we've seen really significant activity growth over the last few years. And even if you look at the AIHW, Australian Institute of Health and Welfare data that came out last week, Mark Butler was saying overall across the country, emergency department demand hadn't increased significantly in 2024-25. Ours had increased by more than 7%. So we do see a slightly different factors in the ACT. We deliver a lot of cross-border service to New South Wales. About a quarter of our activity is non-ACT residents. And the conditions that we have under the National Health Reform Agreement really govern a lot of the New South Wales funding to us as well. And then we can't deliver at the efficient price because small jurisdictions just don't have the economies of scale to be able to do that. So we are pleased. The Commonwealth has also accepted that small jurisdictions are facing a different circumstance and has offered to work with ourselves, Tasmania and the Northern Territory bilaterally to address that particular issue.
The ACT government put in place a $100 healthcare levy for all ratepayers in its, I think it was the last budget. If you don't get an improved position from the Commonwealth in this public hospital funding deal, would your government look to increase that healthcare levy?
Oh, look, I think we've got a very clear steer from our Legislative Assembly that that's not what they want to see, and we're in a minority government situation, so we have to take notice of that. But when we described it as a health levy, it's really an increase in the fixed proportion of rates. We are a local government as well as a state government effectively, so we levy rates as one of our major sources of revenue. And we were just trying to explain to the Canberra community that it is the significant increase in healthcare expenditure that was the driver of that necessary increase in rates. So we'll find a different way of ensuring that we can get sufficient revenue. But if the Commonwealth comes to the party with a better deal and a recognition of the additional pressure we face as a small jurisdiction, that will really help take the pressure off ACT taxpayers having to close that gap.
Rachel Stephen-Smith, appreciate you joining me this morning. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks, Melissa.
Rachel Stephen-Smith is the ACT Health Minister.